Check 1, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3. Ha! Cha!
Arizona Sports, 98.7 FM.
Oh, Luke, Wolf, hey, my brother. Are you kidding me? This does not suck buttermilk, right?
Ron Wolfley.
Hey, I was a witch boister. How are you?
Luke Lipinski.
Hey, guys, welcome back to the show.
It's Wolf and Luke.
And we are live from the Auction Community Studios on this NFL Draft Thursday morning. Wolf, how's it going over there?
Ooh, man, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? This is one of my favorite days. I'm sure everyone feels exactly. What are you doing?
Nothing. You didn't look at me the whole time.
I did not look at you. I was so focused. I came in here. I was so locked into, you know, hey, you're late. You're late, Wolf. What are you doing? This sucks buttermilk, right? And I look over and you're in the jumpsuit.
I'm in the flight suit.
The flight suit.
I had to walk through the newsroom like this. People were not, they didn't know what to do with it.
Mel, do you believe that? I didn't look at him once. I came in here just locked in. They meant, what are you doing, Rod? It's 9:59. You're late. And all of a sudden, I look over there. Luke is in the... Okay, so...
Get used to it, buddy. All 4 hours today in the jumpsuit.
Okay, so all 4 hours... What does this mean? You're in the danger zone?
This is for any and all of us that are in the danger zone. Look, to explain to anybody that wonders what's going on, which seems to be everybody, how long have we been in the danger zone on the Cardinals drafting Marvin Harrison Jr.? Wolf, I might even say you were the... I don't know who was first.
No, I was the first. I was the first. There was... And then remember, I started oscillating all over the place because all of a sudden we heard three number ones. Three number ones sounds really, really good. The only thing better than three number ones might be Marvin Harrison Jr. That's the way I felt. And then all of a sudden he didn't want to work out. Remember that? And that really bothered me. And it still does. It still does. Why do you not want to work out? What are you talking about? Well, I don't want to hurt my draft position. Wolfie doesn't want to hurt his draft position. Hey, you know what? It's not about where you start, bruh. It's not like you were going to drop out of the top 10, right? Drop out of the top 5.
He wasn't going to drop at all, really. He wasn't going to drop even to 5 or 6.
Exactly. So yeah. What do you mean? You know, look, bro, you're going to have to compete. It's not where you start. It's where you finish. And your dad knows that better than anybody else. Isn't that right, Marvin Harrison?
Marvin Harrison Jr., wide receiver, Ohio State.
As Cardinals fans well know, he is the prize receiver of this class. With some help from his dad's Hall of Fame genetics, Harrison Jr. already has all of the tools he needs to be a day one star. The build, the mid-air body control, the nuanced route running, and, of course, the surefire hands. In his final season with Ohio State, Harrison Jr. averaged 18.1 yards per catch for over 1,200 yards and 14 touchdowns. He brings down the contested catches, and once he has the ball, his speed and physicality take over. No matter where he lands in the draft, that team will be better for it. NFL comp, Cowboys receiver CeeDee Lamb.
This 2024 NFL Draft Player Profile is brought to you by Bud Light.
No, and now that the great Sarah Cazell is the one that actually voiced that player profile, we got to go with Marvin Harrison.
Which means you actually, I believe the deal was you owe her lunch if that's who they take, right?
Yeah, you know what? I think I have to do that. Yeah, right, less, exactly. Yeah. As
good
a matter of fact,
out.
Okay.
Here for you.
All right, how about that?
By the way, the Top Gun suit.
Sarah, has anyone invited you, by the way, to any draft parties tonight?
No, they actually haven't.
Okay, now listen, if your draft party is a little low, you know what I'm saying, basically? Yeah. Like your draft party.
Maybe
is
the Cardinals
not really,
trade the pick, and you're kind of like, all right.
You're down in the mouth about it. Things aren't going well. You might want to contact Sarah. That's all I'm saying.
She will fire up your draft party.
She will fire up your party.
It'll take about, I don't know, 5 minutes? Just one song.
And the great thing, she'll do it without being inebriated.
No, this
she'll
is just
do
Sarah.
It because it's Sarah.
This is just
That's
Sarah.
The best part about it.
Bless you, Wolf.
Yeah, well, it's the truth.
Anyway, we agreed 3 months ago, Aaron and I, that I would wear the jumpsuit all the way through the show, and you obviously forgot. And the best part of this,
I did.
the two best parts of this. One, you came in and you were so late to get set up. Wolf didn't look at me once until we were on the air, which I could not have drawn it up any better. The other best part is I do the crossover segment
totally legit
with Broomhead on Thursdays. So I walked in and he starts doing the conversation, starts doing the segment. He's like, "What? Why are you dressed like that?"
That's what he did right
yes.
there.
He was on board.
Okay, that makes sense right now. The danger zone. I've come full circle, haven't I? I've been through it all. I've been through the grieving process. I've been through the, oh my goodness, Marvin Harrison Jr. is the greatest thing ever. And then all of a sudden I started grieving because I believed that, you know what, they're going to trade the pick away. And now, you know what, brothers, I am coming all the way back home. And it feels good.
FanDuel odds are overwhelming that right now, at least. I don't know how much it's going to change over the course of the day that they keep the pick. And if they keep the pick, I think it's pretty obvious
who they take. I hope FanDuel's right.
I do, too. I mean, you probably were in the danger zone first, but I do remember the week before all this when you were out, Command and Control told me to stop saying Marvin Harrison Jr.'s name because I wouldn't stop saying okay. it on the air.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm right there with you, buddy. This is Charles Davis.
Yeah,
on
but
Pick
the danger
Marotta.
Zone is different than just endorsing somebody or hoping you die. The danger zone is like, I'm not going to be okay unless they have this person at the end of the draft.
I have not wavered even with the combine stuff. They cannot not take him. You need a number one receiver. By all accounts, he's the closest thing you're going to get to a sure thing.
Yeah, but once again, you know what?
Can't pass
I know.
On this guy. Man.
Yeah, I'm just saying
you
right
got
now.
Got five other picks in the top 90.
You know, you can tell me about all the busts at the wide receiver position. And by the way, based on our needs, there's a lot of busts at the wide receiver position. I think one of the big reasons why there are busts is because so much is predicated on what kind of offense are you going to run? What kind of protection does your quarterback have? And speaking of quarterback, who's your quarterback? Because it's kind of important to get the guy the ball. And if you don't have a great quarterback, maybe you're going to be in trouble, if you know what I mean, right?
Yeah. Here's Charles Davis on Bickley and Marotta yesterday talking about Marvin Harrison Jr. skipping the combine.
The older scouts want you to work out.
Yeah.
The younger scouts, they kind of get that you have the leverage now.
Uh-huh.
And I'll give you one last thing on Marvin Harrison Jr. Maybe not a lot of people know, but I'm telling you, this is straight goods. When he went to the combine, remember he didn't work out.
Sure.
And everybody was flipping out, right? He and his representatives contacted the combine a month ahead of time and said, listen, he's doing an internship. He doesn't want to miss a lot of work. Can he come in a day early, get measured, tested, you know, talk to teams, do all that stuff? He's not doing the field workouts anyway. Can he come in and do that and then get back to his internship? They did it without fanfare. They didn't announce it to the world. The combine people said absolutely, worked with them and did it. Done.
Yeah.
So anyone saying casual, I don't think it's casual.
Wow.
I think it's deliberate. Do we have to do all this working out when it's all out there on tape?
No.
Okay.
Who is this guy?
Charles Davis.
Charles Davis. Yeah. Okay, I know Charles. I just wanted to, what he was saying blew me away right there. Just blew me away. It's kind of like not noticing that you were in the jumpsuit.
It's been a wild first segment of the show.
What he was saying had my attention so much that I didn't really think of who it was that was saying it. Interesting.
Wow. There you go.
And yet, you're telling me that happened? How did they keep that under wraps?
I tell you what, we'll
how
get back into this.
How did his dad not leak that to the press?
There's a lot here. When we come back, how many quarterbacks are going to go in the first round, and how is it going to impact the Cardinals? The draft starts in like 7 hours. Let's get into it now. It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Like we always do with this time.
Listen to the Arizona Sports NFL Draft Special this afternoon at 4. Wolf and Luke talk NFL Draft now.
All right, well, if you want my bold prediction for the draft, I know you didn't ask.
Hey, yeah.
I don't know how they're going to pull it off. I think the Raiders are going to do everything they can to get Jaden Daniels.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
That's my Okay. Completely unsubstantiated prediction for the draft.
Okay, why do you say that, though? I mean, what is the reasoning behind this? Like,
well, they need a quarterback.
Okay.
So let's start there.
Let me see. I've got my needs here. Yes.
I think you can connect the other dots with Antonio Pierce and Jaden Daniels.
Yes, okay.
And as you've been saying, Jaden Daniels, outside of Caleb Williams, is the shiny object when it comes to three quarterbacks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So I don't know. And it's the Raiders. I mean, they're always trying to make a splash, right? I don't know if they're going to be able to pull it off because they're not getting up to number two. I can't see the Commanders trading that pick. That would be insane. I do wonder about the Patriots. And I mean, look, if Jaden Daniels is the fourth quarterback off the board there at four, I don't think it's a lock the Cardinals are picking at four. By any means.
Yeah, no, I think you could be right on that. Listen, how many quarterbacks, based on earnings, I think this is the question you got to ask yourself. How many quarterbacks do you legitimately see going in the first round? How many quarterbacks do you see? You know, once again, we all understand.
I'm going to say five.
You're going to go five.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to go all six.
Are you?
I'm going to go all six.
The over-under on FanDuel is 5.5.
Yep. Of course it is.
Yep.
5.5.
Yep.
I think Bo Nix is going to sneak into the first round. And I also think that you're going to have a situation once again where J.J. McCarthy, I believe, will be. So I think he's going to be the fourth quarterback taken.
McCarthy. Yeah, I do too. I don't believe these mocks that have him dropping out of the top 10, though. I don't think there's any way.
Okay, and once again, if it happens, it happens. But I think he will be the fourth quarterback taken. I think Drake May will be taken before that, and I think Jaden Daniels will be taken before that as well.
So I guess my unsubstantiated bold prediction would require the Commanders to take Drake May or McCarthy. The
Commanders!
But they would have to... They can't take Jaden Daniels for my crazy prediction to work. But if they don't, and Jaden Daniels is out there at three and or four, I think that's very much in play.
Yeah, so Bo Nix, I think, and Michael Penix Jr. Michael Penix Jr. Boy, that is somebody right there, too, to keep an eye on. All right, I'm just saying. Nobody's talking about Michael Penix Jr. Nobody's talking about him. And he might be the sneaky quarterback to somehow, some way. Oh, I don't know, slip into number four. Maybe that's what happens right there. Michael Penix Jr., the reason why I say it, he throws the ball better than J.J. McCarthy. Okay, listen, J.J. McCarthy,
you can
talk about J.J. McCarthy. I think J.J. McCarthy is a better athlete. I do. I think J.J. McCarthy is a guy, pull the ball down and run the ball and do well with that. I don't think Michael Penix is great in terms of running the ball. Now, listen, he's no sluggard out there, based on Ian's, okay? He's an athlete, there's no doubt. But at the same time, I think J.J. McCarthy is actually a better athlete than Michael Penix Jr. But Michael Penix Jr. throws the long ball better than any quarterback, in my opinion, any quarterback in this draft.
Well, if even one other team shares that opinion, then he's absolutely in play to go as one of the top four, probably four, but one of those. I definitely think he's a first-round pick. And actually, honestly, the more we're talking about this, I think Bo Nix is too, so I guess I am saying
because
six.
You think somebody's going to say, you know what, Bo Nix, we'll just go ahead and do, especially too, when you think about it, Basinonians, maybe some teams that are looking ahead, who might trade into the first round, later into the first round, because they want that quarterback for what, Basinonians? For that fifth year. That's when you want that quarterback for that year number five because you drafted him in the first round.
Well, it's also interesting of like, what if a team like New England, I'll use them as the example, what if they like Bo Nix or Michael Penix Jr.? They can probably trade out of number three, depending who they trade with, and at least have a shot at getting one of those guys. So in a weird way, those guys, not that they control the draft, but they're going to have an impact on this draft for sure because it also could make it seem like Minnesota a little hesitant to give up as much as a team like the Cardinals would ask. Because they may say, okay, look, McCarthy's on the board at four, but you're asking for 11, 23, a first next year. You're asking for a third. And then this Wolf guy came in and said, I want a sixth, too, just because I can. And they're probably like, you know, we could probably get Bo Nix at 11. We'd get Michael Penix Jr. at 11.
Yeah, maybe. And maybe even later than that as well. You know what I'm talking about? Number 13.
Hey.
That's all I'm saying. Hey, right there, the Raiders might be looking at. They're like, yeah, We're okay, as a matter of fact. We're going to be fine if we get Michael Penix Jr.
Michael Penix Jr., quarterback, Washington.
The Heisman Trophy runner-up dazzled in his final collegiate season. He helped power the Huskies' offense all the way to the national championship. But on that biggest stage, we didn't get to see the best of what Penix had to offer. A rocket for a left arm, accurate with where he wants the ball to go, and very rarely becomes a victim of the pressure. The worry for many is his injury history. An ACL tear in 2018, a joint fracture in 2019, a second ACL tear in the same knee in 2020, and an AC joint injury in 2021. While he was fully healthy with the Huskies, that is something teams will have in the back of their mind as quarterbacks start to fly off the board. NFL comp, Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa.
We get it!
This 2024 NFL Draft Player Profile is brought to you by Bud Light.
Mitch went full injury report on us right there.
That really has been the issue, though, with Michael Penix Jr. So... yeah, beware on that.
I have a question for you.
Mitch kind of beat me down right there.
He did. We're going to have to cut that part out we're trying to get teams to move up. Let me ask you this. Why? There's quarterback desperate teams every single year.
Yeah.
Why is this year the first in a while where it seems like, I mean, four quarterbacks in the first four picks is absolutely in play. It almost seems like a given the top three picks are going to be quarterbacks. That's only happened three or four times in NFL history. And I don't remember a year six quarterbacks went in the first round, and that's in play too. So what's the deal?
What is the deal on this right now? Well, you know what? It comes down to how desperate you are for a quarterback, and you need a new human being. The NFL is in a state of flux, Basinonians. It is. It's in a state of flux. It used to be you need Tom Brady as your quarterback. Now, listen, everyone is going to be like, you always need Tom Brady.
It would help. Yeah.
I'm sorry. You know what? You're moving into the first quarter of the century, ladies and gentlemen. Right now, you're number 24. You're moving into the 21st century where you need a guy that can actually blend both the old and the new. You need a guy that can do this, a guy that can read coverage, and a guy that can go ahead, zone read, RPOs, whatever you need, he's got it. He's got all the athletic ability to do it. You need a quarterback that can pull the ball down on 3rd and 12 and hurt the defense by converting with his legs, pulling it down and converting, running with his legs. And if you don't have that, man, it's going to be really, really hard to score points in the NFL.
Wolves, playbook for dummies.
Zone read.
Quarterback and running back running the inside zone with the quarterback reading the end man on the line of scrimmage.
So, there you go.
So right now,
Wolves, playbook for dummies.
RPO.
Run pass option.
Slam it right after the run pass option. I like that, Mel. But you get my point, man. Right now, this is what you need, a human being that can do both. And teams are desperate because they either have one or maybe the other, but they don't have a guy that can execute and orchestrate both. That's why the question with Kyler Murray last year, what was it? Could he actually get under center and run that offense? Do you think he did that, Basinonians? Do you think he showed him a little something right there? I think there's no doubt about it. He got better. He got better under center, and they used more and more under center as the season unfolded, to a point where the last four games, the Arizona Cardinals had the number one offense in the National Football League, and they were playing some good teams, teams that were in playoff contention. They had the number one offense in the National Football League in terms of yards per game with Kyler Murray under center. That was the question. Could he do it? He did it.
I'm going to go back under to 5 because I'm looking at the Mel Kiper Field Yates mock, and they actually have Bo Nix and Michael Penix Jr. both going in the second round.
Both.
I'm going to trust my original instinct, and I'm going to say 5. I think one of them will go in the first, but for whatever reason, one always seems to drop, and then teams will feel like they can get him in the second round. So I'm going to go with 5, which is still a high number.
I'm going to stick with 6, Basinonians, because once again, you're going to get a general manager that looks at his quarterback and says, you know, we don't need a quarterback right now, but we could kind of use a quarterback.
Need.
And By the way, we're going to have him for a fifth year, so we'll get him at the end of the first round.
That's a real thing. Text us your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. What does Tyler Drake think the Cardinals are going to do with the fourth overall pick? We'll ask our own Cardinals reporter for Arizona Sports. He's in Detroit, and he'll join us next. It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Listen to the Arizona Sports NFL Draft Special this afternoon at 4. Wolf and Luke talk NFL Draft now.
If you had one shot, one opportunity.
I mean, the draft is in Detroit. Believe Eminem. Just the fact that Eminem and Roger Goodell were in the same commercial, that threw me off the other day when I saw that. You know who we sent to Detroit, Wolf? We sent our own Tyler Drake to Detroit. He's there right now.
That's so cool, man. But he keeps on forgetting. I wonder if you went to 5 miles.
Oh, let's ask him. He's joining us right now on the Arizona Sports Line. Tyler, what's going on, buddy? How is it out there?
What's going on, guys? It is another great draft. You know, fans are already lining everywhere down the streets. It started out really cold out here, but starting to get a little warmer. So it's really starting to be a really nice day out here. It's just a great time for NFL fans, and I think everyone's just waiting for that first Chicago Bears are on the clock ticker to come through the airwaves.
Okay, now Tyler, we just got to get this. We got to get this down right now. What's your itinerary look like for today? You know what I mean? Like, what are you going to do today, big guy? What are you doing?
Okay, yeah. So I've already walked the streets a little bit. I got up. You know, it's weird. The time change definitely is a weird thing for me. I don't think I could ever live on the East Coast. I'll just say it right now. I love the West Coast. But for me, you know, I got up early, went down, started looking around, checking out the sights and sounds, saw a lot of fans already out there, a lot of Detroit fans, a couple Cardinals fans. Honestly, I think I'm already seeing more Cardinals fans than I saw last year in Kansas City. So a good thing there. You can tell Bird Gang is very excited. I actually talked to one fan who didn't even let me get the question out of who they should take. He just said Marvin Harrison Jr. And so that was I think we can all assume that's most of these Cardinals fans out here and in the desert. So doing that, and then just got back to the hotel, going to talk with you guys, write a couple more articles, probably jump on with Burns and Gambo, and then we'll be getting going, and then I'm going to jump on with you guys after the pick's made, after I talk to whoever number 4 is, or if they trade it, or whoever's at 27, or if they trade that too. So a lot of moving parts going on on my side of things.
You got lunch planned out, you got some lunch, right? You're going to have some dinner as well. You're good to go. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We're good. This is my second draft, still getting the bearings, but I think we're a little more prepared than last time around. Right. So we're good. We're getting it done.
Wolf just really wants to know the menu of food that you have selected for your stay in Detroit.
Oh, okay. Okay. So here's the thing. I asked everybody around in the station, family members that live in the Upper Peninsula and other places around here, and they all told me pizza, man. They told me that Detroit-style pizza is the way to go, and I've got to say it definitely was. I went and checked out one just next to my hotel and got really good reviews, and I'll give them a standing ovation because it was very good.
All right, right on, nice. Man. Speaking of way to go, what is your gut feeling on which way the Arizona Cardinals will go?
Well, I think it's the simple, it's the boring, but it's the best choice, and it's staying at 4 and taking Marvin Harrison Jr. And the fact that you have to say it's simple and boring and you're going to take a generational talent, I think that says enough. Just make the pick. Don't get cute. Get number 4 done. Figure out what's going on with the the draft board at 27. Who knows how that's really going to shake out? I don't know if anybody really knows that right now. And go from there. But I think you have to start with nailing down your number one wide receiver for now and for the future in Marvin Harrison Jr.
Tyler, we're talking to Tyler Drake. It's funny, too, because you're right. It's the, quote, boring pick. It's boring for about 3 seconds until you realize Marvin Harrison Jr. is on your team. And then tomorrow, everybody wakes up and you have Marvin Harrison Jr. instead of just more nameless picks. The mock drafts have gone all over the place on this, and I know you can only put so much stock in those, but for a while it was like, oh yeah, it's a no-brainer, it's going to be Marvin Harrison Jr. Then there was like a month where every mock seemed to have them trading down, a lot had them trading down and then trading back up. The sense that you have they wavered on this at all, or do you think they've kind of had one plan and they've just looked at other options but have been pretty locked in for a while?
Yeah, I think the plan all along has been wide receiver, definitely. And I think Marvin Harrison is the top of the list there. He checks all the boxes that they need. I think Roma Dunze would be a close second, to be honest, and then I would put Malik after him. And honestly, you know, I think it's just the nature of mock drafts, because nobody's going to want to click on something that's the same exact mock draft every week. And I can tell you right now, mine probably would have been close to the same mock draft every week, because I've had Marvin as the guy. 27 has really been a Chop Robinson type, you know, move for me down there. But it's just the transition of these mock drafts. They've got to put something out there that's different. And so I think we saw that kind of fluctuation for that month or so, and now we're starting to see it kind of come back and really lock in with Marvin. So I think from the Cardinal side of things, I think it's been Marvin, or not Marvin or bust, but I think Marvin's been the top of their list, and then it's been everybody else.
So how many quarterbacks do you think might actually go in the first round? Just your take on this, Tyler. How many quarterbacks do you think could go in the first round?
I think we could see five.
Five. Right. That's what Luke said.
That's right. Okay, so Tyler and I are both right. This is good to know.
I'm at
yep,
six.
Lock it in.
Right? I'm at six, and the reason why
see, and I'm right on the cusp of saying six, but I think five's the way to go.
Yeah, and it's interesting, because what did FanDuel have once again?
Five and a half.
Oh, wow.
Right there, 5.5. I just think somebody might slip into the first round late in the first round, might move in, jump in there at number 30, number 31, 32, and try to snag that quarterback for that fifth year, having that fifth year option with a first rounder. So we'll see how it goes right now. But after Marvin Harrison Jr., who do you think is the best position player in the draft?
Ooh. Well, I would put Rome up there, but I'd also, I'm going to take this more of the Cardinals' needs of things, and I would say Dallas Turner is probably the next guy.
Okay, Dallas Turner. Yeah,
because
you've got Chad Robinson.
Yeah. I
do too, man. I do too. And I think he would be excellent, but I don't think you have to go up. You don't need to go up as high to get him. So if they could land Chop, and I think he really exploded this offseason through, you know, just his combine work. And I just watched the, hey, rookie, welcome to the NFL clip last night on him. And you know, you only want to root for the guy, because he just seems like a really good dude and just an absolute beast on the playing field. So if they could come down and figure out how to get him too, and pair him with that defense that is getting revamped, that could go a long way. But I think if we're looking at those top 10, top 15 picks, it's probably Marvin, Rome, Dallas Turner, and then I'd say Tyrion Arnold too for myself, because I think cornerback could go a long way. I don't know exactly if there's, you know, I don't really know the grades for the cornerbacks this draft if Cardinals are really high on them, but, you know, there's a couple there. Tyrion Arnold, Mitchell from Toledo. So, but I'd personally go with Arnold, and who knows, he could be there in the teens. Maybe you come up from 27, maybe he chops off the board and you've got to do something else. So there's a lot of different avenues they can go in really shoring up the defensive side of the ball.
Tyler, great stuff, man. Great work leading up to this. Have fun tonight, all right?
Right on, Ty.
All right. See you guys. Thanks for having me on. Yep.
That's Tyler Drake joining us right there on the Arizona Sports Line. Of course, he is our Arizona Cardinals reporter for ArizonaSports.com. Embrace the Suns playoffs and go all in with Arizona Sports. Tune in daily at 8 a.m., noon, and 3 o'clock to snag our exclusive Phoenix Suns code word. Then text it to 620-620 for your shot at scoring Suns playoff tickets. Don't miss your chance. Tune in today during the 8 o'clock, noon, and 3 o'clock hours. When we come back, does the future of the Suns' Big Three hinge on this series against the Timberwolves? We'll get into that next. It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Arizona Sports 98.7 and the Arizona Sports app. Wolf and Luke talk Suns Timberwolves now.
All right, be honest, Wolf, you're a little bit jealous you didn't get a flight suit.
You know, honestly, I could do without the flight suit.
Really?
I don't think I'd look as good as you do in the flight suit. You know what I'm saying, bro?
It's like a fitted suit.
I don't know, cheeks are full right now.
Well, we're going to switch gears to basketball right now. So nobody's in the danger zone with the Suns right now. Well, maybe the Suns are in the danger zone, but not the good danger zone. I'm going to play a couple cuts from the Bill Simmons podcast, Wolf. And if you were like camping for the last 3 months or something, and this was the first you heard of the Phoenix Suns, I just play these two cuts for you, and they will summarize just how bad things have potentially gotten. Now, remember, they're only down 2-0. It's a best-of-seven series. I get that. The series is not over, but the big picture ramifications of a potential early exit are just hanging over this team right now if they don't wake up and turn it around. Here's Bill Simmons and Kevin O'Connor from the Bill Simmons podcast on Tuesday.
Are we going to be making up Devin Booker trades in late June?
Booker before Durant or both? I'd be intrigued from the Phoenix side of things of just blowing things up completely, considering if you do suffer a first round loss, worst case scenario sweep, you got to be looking at the drawing board saying there's literally nothing that we can do. You don't have future assets. You don't have young players to trade.
And you're not allowed to sign free agents because you're over the second apron.
Yes. And not only that, the swaps that you've already traded, sometimes you've traded the swaps twice, further diminishing the value of your pick swaps. Like, they've tried to get creative with the limited amount of assets they have, but they got nothing to make significant moves. And this is a fundamentally flawed team.
What if you traded Booker and Durant? What if you traded Durant to the Warriors? I don't know. This is the kind of stuff. The point is, I was thinking about this stuff during the fourth quarter of that game where I was like, wow, this is now officially like we're in blow it upville, as you would call it.
It is entering that neighborhood because of the fact that they have nothing that they can do. And ultimately, it should be
at the stop sign going, wait, is that a right turn to blow it upville?
So I would say two things here, Wolf.
Yeah.
One, we talked to Richard Jefferson early in the season, and multiple other like former players have said this. Usually takes 2 years when you have a big three like this. So I think you have to keep that in mind. And obviously, I don't think Matt Ishbia is throwing all that money he just did at Grayson Allen if the plan is to blow things up if they lose in the first round. But I think there is a very real component to this of they can't really change much this offseason. So if you get to the second round and you lose to Denver and it's like, all right, okay, then to me the like, okay, we'll give it a second year and see where this goes, that part kicks in. If you get knocked out in five games or like swept by Minnesota, how are you supposed to come back next year and be like, we're gonna do the exact same thing? It'll be better this time.
Yeah, you know, where do you begin on this one right now, base earnings? My mind is all over the place on this. I wonder what they were saying before this actually started, before this series, before game one actually started. I wonder what they were saying then when the Phoenix Suns had a matchup where they had beaten the Timberwolves three times and beaten them severely three times. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm just wondering.
I think that makes it even worse.
I'm just wondering. Yeah, I know. I'm just wondering where. They were on all that to begin with right now, this team that is fundamentally flawed. I don't know if fundamentally flawed is what they are. Are they, from a chemistry standpoint, are they flawed? Yeah, I think there's a real possibility that that is the case. When I heard Charles Barkley say what he said, I honestly, Basinonians, I don't think I believed him. Now, it's Charles' opinion. There's nothing wrong with that. It's not like I'm looking at him thinking, Charles, you're lying, when he said there was a lack of leadership on this team. And I would also say that leadership has been exposed to some degree. And maybe Charles is right that there is a lack of leadership based on the physicality and the toughness of this team, something we've been talking about for a long time on this show. The inconsistency and the unevenness in terms of their intensity, their physicality. Hey, it takes one. It starts with one. It always does, Basinonians. One that is your best player or one of your best players that leads everybody else. This is how we're going to do it. And oh, by the way, if you don't think I'm going to walk up on you and say, what are you doing? You're wrong. Now, is that a fundamental flaw? It could be. It could be a fundamental flaw on this team. The chemistry of this team. These guys, listen, the big three, think about the big three right now. How do you think the big three, if you were in the big three, Bradley Beal, Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, if you were in that big three, how would you feel if, in fact, you get knocked out? Forget about sweep. I'm just talking about knocked out in the first round against the Minnesota Timberwolves. Would you take responsibility for that? Would you point fingers anywhere else? I hope not.
I mean, that's a conversation that will have to happen if they lose in the first round, because I don't think you can just, if you truly lose to Minnesota in the first round, let's say they lose in five games, just for this scenario, okay? I don't know how you can look around at all the money you're spending, at all the expectations for this team this season, at all the pieces you traded to get some of these guys, and then say, yeah, everything's fine. We'll just do it again next year.
Yeah, I know.
What would lead you? Or can you guarantee me Kevin Durant's going to play 75 games next year and put up the numbers he put up next year? I mean, I know Kevin Durant's going to take a lot of the heat if they do bow out early, but in terms of his production this season, it was better than anybody expected. So the only place you could really make a change of any sort of significance would be the head coach, and you can do that.
Yeah.
But do we all believe that that's the only issue? Because I don't believe Frank Vogel's the only issue if they go out in the first round. I actually agree a lot with what Kellen said when we had him on the other day. They made adjustments from game one to game two. You could see them. And they did work to a certain extent, and they still lost the game.
Yeah, they still lost the game. You know, I just think, once again, this team has a void of intensity and leadership and physicality. And I'm just wondering if the big three will acknowledge that themselves when it's all said and done, because they'll be the first ones to know it. And is there a possibility that does Matt Ishbia strike you as somebody that is a, well, we're just going to bring it all back again?
Yeah, we'll just sit here and wait.
We're
not going to take any action.
Yeah, he does not strike me as that type of individual.
It's the literal opposite.
Right now. So, again, we're going to have to see how this plays out, but I believe this right now. The Suns aren't done. They're not done. They got to win a game, and I think they will.
You rally and win this series. To me, all of this conversation goes away. This is only a conversation if you can't get out of the first round against a Minnesota team that's never really done much in the playoffs. Here's Kendrick Perkins on NBA Today.
This is not on Frank Vogel, okay? This is not on Frank Vogel. We're talking about a group of veteran guys, especially when you're talking about Bill, KD, and Devin Booker, who has been around the block, has playoff experience. They have to meet the match. Right now, we're looking at, you know, teacup poodles walking in the cage with a bunch of Rottweilers.
There you go.
Teacup poodles walking around in the cage with a bunch of Rottweilers.
You know, once again, okay, this is the reason why you just don't push a button based on audience, and suddenly you become this. Okay, I guess we're going now. Now we're going to play. I mean, honestly, if that's the way you've been doing it all season long, really? That's the competitor you are or you are not?
But see, this is the other part, because I've heard more and more people say, okay, well, if they lose, blow it up. What does that look like? You're not going to be able to trade Bradley Beal. He's scheduled to make $50 million next year. I think he has more value to the Suns than he would to almost any other team. He was considered one of the worst contracts in basketball before the season. I'm not trading Devin Booker under any circumstances. And Kevin Durant, I mean, he's one of the best players of all time. I wouldn't trade him either. But if you did, you're not going to get back what you just gave up for him 14 months ago.
Yeah, I know. It's a tough situation. It really is right now when you think about it. This is the reason why you have to think of everything, right? The chemistry of all of this right now. There are whispers that are going around right now in regard to this team and what is going on inside the locker room. We've talked about this ad nauseum here on this very show. These whispers that are going around, and is it possible that Devin Booker is deferring to Kevin Durant? Okay, is it possible that is what is going on when Book, in my opinion, needs to step up and say, you follow me? You're talking to Kevin Durant, one of the 10 best players in the history of the association. And Book has got to be the guy to walk up and tell him, no, we're going to do it this way.
You know what would be cool and would really help a lot is winning a game. Like, just go out and win game three. He can silence all the big picture, future of the team conversations, and we can just shift this focus back to an actual series. But until you win a game, it doesn't even feel like they're in the series yet. All right, we come back. What would Marvin Harrison Jr. do for the Arizona Cardinals? The draft starts in like 6 hours. It's time to really dive into it one final time. It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.